From downtown, this is Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam, and you're listening to Nintendo Main Podcast. Boom shakalaka!
This week on Nintendo Main, I'm living in the future with two TVs. And I got some Nintendo vouchers, and I'm not sure what to use them on.
I'm getting ready to combine a road trip with survival. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be a real-life video game.
I can't wait to bomb some Dodongos.
Welcome to Nintendo Main Podcast, episode 414, your place to hear Nintendo fans talk about games and other stuff, and that sort of thing. And we are your hosts. I'm Trey Multilaxing Johnson. I stole that from John.
I'm Jeremy Ray Tracing in my pocket, Mikowski.
I'm the John L. of Faramore Knitter.
Of Faramore. That sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a certain game.
I think you might be playing a game.
Yeah. Let's start off the show as we normally do and talk about games that we got and games that we've been playing. John, your nickname sounds familiar. Like it may have been a game that we might have talked about in a previous episode with another guest. Tell us all about it.
Yes, it is. And I got Arzette, the Jewel of Faramore. I can concur. This is a great game. John was right. And it's well worth it. It's a love letter to the Zelda CDI games, and I just think it's a wonderful experience through and through. I played it all the way through. I beat it 100% and had a great time with it.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever mentioned like after that, but after we recorded at John's house, he did actually show me the original CDI Zelda games, and I'm interested in that. I think they're actually not that bad. I mean, for what they are, like they're kind of cool. Like if you saw them at the time, you think they were kind of interesting. But I mean, I don't think they were as bad as as what they had.
I think the big qualm is that the gameplay was shit. And that the animation was shit.
I didn't play the game. John did. I kind of watched him play it, but I thought it looked fine for the time.
Well, you've actually seen it, so maybe it's all going to get rewritten, the history of the CDI games now.
I mean, I thought the animation was pretty good, actually. I mean, for the time, I thought it was all right. But tell us about, I don't know anything about Arzette, like aside, you say you like it. What is it really? I mean, I know there's like,
sure,
I don't know, break it down for us.
Really, it's a Metroidvania. But now it is missing one key element of the Metroidvanias, which is that the world is not continuous. You can't walk from one end of the world to the other. But other than that, it's going to different areas, finding that you can't get in a certain spot, without getting a certain item from another area. There's backtracking and all that, fetch questing and everything. But the only real difference is that the worlds aren't connected. You have to jump back to the map and everything. But other than that, it's like a proto Metroidvania. I say proto because I know that this game is inspired by those Zelda games, and then John said that they are basically Metroidvanias as well. Mm-hmm. So they're taking inspiration from the games from 30 years ago. I feel like overall, it's a good game, even without the Zelda references and all that stuff. Like if it was totally without all that stuff, it would be like a good platformer, nothing to write home about necessarily. Doesn't reinvent the wheel. Maybe without the Zelda stuff, I might give it like a 7. I think with the Zelda stuff and appreciating all that as I do, I'd give it at least an 8, and if I'm feeling good, maybe a 9. I really liked it.
Yeah, you played through all of it. And it's pretty, you're saying it's pretty standard I mean, it's 2D, but it's, but is there a map? You're saying it's Metroidvania like, does it, but it's not connected, but do you have a map?
It's not connected. There is a map. The area, and there's, I want to say, a dozen areas or so. You just can't walk from one end to the other. That's the only difference from that and a standard Metroidvania as we know it. But you will get to points as you're in one area where you're like, I can't go any further. And you're not going to be able to go any further to get the item that's available, you know, five worlds down the road. And then you got to come back and revisit that world again. And so there's a lot of backtracking in that way.
I guess it would be a little bit easier then, though, right? Because since everything is not connected, you can just go and like click on whatever world you want to go to when you have the particular item. So it'd make it a little bit less cumbersome. Like you don't have to like physically backtrack. So that could be
true. Yeah, it's not like finding your way through a maze, so to speak, as you are in a Metroidvania, but it just feels like a Metroidvania light to me. It also feels a little bit like a point and click type game, because you are like meeting characters who need a certain item from elsewhere in the world, and you find that item and bring it back to them, that kind of thing.
I mean, do you get items from bosses? Like, do you buy them from shops? Like,
you can buy items from shops. They're more like your perishables, though, your bombs and all that kind of stuff. I don't think there was ever a point where there might be one or two items that are like key items that I had to save a bunch of rubies for. The rubies in this game, not rupees, that they were like key items and stuff. But other than that, it's mostly like, you know, scouring the world and finding items, and you know, they'll give you very obvious hints, like saying something with emphasis, and you're like, later on, as you know, like, oh, wait a minute, I remember this person said that, and I need this thing. But yeah, I think the characterization is really one of the reasons that I bought into this. I think the characters are really distinct and funny, and yeah, they're one note, and in the way that those if you ever seen those games on YouTube, the original Zelda games, you know, they're all like just kind of weird characters and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I found the game very charming in that way. And I think I found the original games charming. I never played those. I watched them to death on YouTube out of curiosity. And I think that they had a certain charm to them, which comes through in this, despite the fact that those games were like, I don't know, they were okay, maybe, or even bad, some people say. I feel like they had a charm to them that was definite.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like actually looking at it John Wedgeworth and him just kind of run through it for me. I was just kind of like, well, I could see the charm of it at the time, you know, for when it was released, for what it was. And I didn't think the animations were all that bad. I thought they were actually kind of cool from what I saw. But I mean, also if you're comparing it to the other Zelda games, yeah, it's a step in a completely different direction. I think that was a lot of probably what people are upset of too, because I would not call a Zelda game, I guess, you know. It's definitely very, very different, but you played through it, what is it like, about 10 hours, or like what would you say, like how much time you spent?
I beat it in just under 9 hours.
Okay.
I feel like I was taking my time with it. You could probably beat this game if you're really plowing through on your first time. You could probably beat it in 5 or 6 hours. So it's a weekend game for sure. And it was $20, but I felt like it was well worth it. I think there's a lot of quality in there. I think actually the animation, as crude looking as it is, I think the animation is technically really good, because it's aping a style which was notably like almost without style. Like it was, the reason that it caught fire online is because it was like so strange and it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was bad, but it felt almost like animation without any kind of rules to it, or like in animation they'll use style guides and stuff and they'll say you can't do this, you can't do that. It felt like a team was making animated scenes without a definite style guide, and so to try and ape that in this RZ game, I think, would be all the more challenging to try and go for this copy this style that really didn't have a cohesive style, but they do it. Like, it feels like those old games, again, from what I've seen on the videos. I feel like I've played those old Zelda games now through playing RZ. It scratched that itch for me.
Did you get the controller?
The physical? I did not, but I want to.
The weird physical controller. I figured you did it. I think because you have to order it.
It's another $35. Wow. And, you know, I think the fact that we've got RZ and we've got Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, which I'm going to get. I'm like,
I think it's out two now, CDI too, games right? within 2 weeks. I think it's out, right? Yeah.
I think that makes it worth it. I think I'll get the CDI controller just for kicks.
So you can use, you're saying you can use a controller on Plumbers Don't Wear Ties too, then? I didn't know that. I've never really looked into that game at all because I don't know anything about it. And I just haven't. It's not really on my radar. I know they did a Retronauts about it not that long ago, but I never didn't get around to listening to it.
Yeah, I would say that I think it was the Angry Video Game Nerd that put it on the map with one of his episodes. But yeah, I'm interested in it. It's an FMV travesty, so I'm all in. I did encounter one bug when I was playing RZ, though, which is kind of a weird one. I've never encountered this before. I will almost always, when I'm watching TV or playing a game, use my headphones, use my AirPods. I just like it. It sounds better. I have a good sound system, but for some reason, it just sounds better through the AirPods. You know, I don't have to turn it up as loud. I feel like I'm not bothering my neighbors, so that's the way I usually play games. However, when I'm doing this with RZ and RZ only, it causes the controller to constantly vibrate. No other game has ever done this for me.
Are you connecting your headphones to the Switch or to your TV?
Straight to the Switch.
Okay. Yeah, because I've had problems with that. Like not the vibrating, but whenever I Bluetooth connect to the Switch and it's in the dock, there's a mad lag. There's a mad controller lag. So I don't use it like that. The only way I can use it with the Bluetooth off the Switch is if I'm holding it in handheld. Like that's the only way it'll work. Because I remember trying to do that with when it first came out. I used it with Monster Hunter. I obviously noticed something was wrong with that because Monster Hunter is very particular about the control. And then I used it with Super Metroid, which I've played a billion times. And I'm like, when I was playing that, I was like, all right, there's something wrong here. Like this is way off, you know. So I haven't used it since. So I don't use the Bluetooth on my Switch at all. But that's because I felt like everything was really just not responsive. Like it was a couple seconds, but it's like it just didn't feel right, and I would play much worse because of it. So I haven't had that, but I've had the thing where my 8-bit Do random will just rumble if I play into the Nintendo Switch Online apps. I don't know if you guys have ran into that. Like whenever you turn on the Super Nintendo or the 64 or whatever, it'll just rumble constantly. Only the 8-bit Do's. Only the 8-bit Do controllers will do that. Both of them will do it too. My old one and my new one. So I don't know what it is. And I've just turned the rumble off on my controllers. They just don't rumble anymore. So it doesn't really matter to me. It's how I got around that. But rumbling with the Bluetooth, I don't know. Because I don't really try it that much.
Yeah, likewise, I stopped using the Bluetooth on the Switch when I got my new TV a couple years ago because I used to use Bluetooth through the TV itself. And then if I'm playing PS5, I can do that, or I can just plug headphones into the controller itself too.
I have like a Bluetooth adapter that I would use for my TV, but I haven't used it in a while. I don't know. We got our own house now. I don't really worry about making noise or whatever.
I only do it for like really atmospheric games. Like sometimes I'll throw on my headphones just to get more of a like three-dimensional sound stuff.
I was doing it because of noise, but I don't know, just sleeps with headphones in, so I don't think, as long as it's not like super loud, it won't. I don't know. If I'm like downstairs, I don't think you can really hear it. So I don't know. So I don't use them as much, but it was pretty cool. You know, I did like the like immersiveness of it, I guess, from using. But I would use it a lot more if it worked better on the Switch. I would use the Switch one, but
it's still got to be one of the weirdest things about the Switch that Bluetooth headphones compatibility came with an update like 5 years after it got released or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't use it because of the controller lag and all that. It just, yeah. But you don't notice that on your end?
You know, you mentioned that on the Slack, and afterward I kind of thought, yeah, maybe I do realize a little bit of lag. I guess it wasn't enough to bother me. But having my controller constantly rumble certainly did.
Do you use it for like Hitman, like stuff that you like play a lot? Like, do you use the Bluetooth for that?
I do. Yep.
Okay. Because that could be a whole nother thing. Because, you know, with the
cloud,
yeah, sometimes you get delay on that too, which that can be weird. Because like my experience in playing a Resident Evil Village, it could either be like really, really good or it could be really, really bad. You know, it's kind of like it varies. But sometimes it would be solid as fuck, and sometimes it would not be. You know. But I felt. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I played through it a couple times, so it was solid enough for me to get all the way through. But yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, sometimes when it was just was off too much, I would just turn it off and then try it a different time, and then it worked better. So, I don't know. But I never tried. I never tried the Bluetooth headphones with that.
Yeah, no, I never noticed any problem with the headphones or anything on Hitman. Though, incidentally, Hitman, in the last couple of weeks, the performance has gotten notably worse. To the point where I actually contacted IO and I said, hey, like, this is consistently crashing on me. You know, if I'm playing, if I start it up, you know, five times, at least one time, I'll freeze. Maybe two out of five times it'll freeze. And so I suspect that they're slowly ramping things down, because I'm certain it's not at the height that it used to be. I'm guessing that that's the reason. I can't think of any other reason why. And I never really had that problem before. But, yeah, that's digressing anyway.
And it's not your internet. Your internet. That's not my internet. Troubles.
I have top quality internet and all that stuff. And, you know, my internet performs pretty well. I want to say one more thing about RZ is that I think there's a link in there, believe it or not. But he's kind of a dweeb, and I think it's really funny the way that he's portrayed. The hero of the game is Arzette, the princess, and there's this character Dale who wears all green, and he's just like, you know how Link in the cartoon show was like, you know, 90s teen, hey, blah, 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 whoa, all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. Excuse me, princess. Excuse me.
Yeah, and he was super, exactly, super creepy too. Real, real forcing himself.
How about a kiss
on Zelda there? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's clear to me that even in the CDI games, that they took inspiration from that cartoon show. Like, even to the point where that Link in that CDI game says, "Hey, can I get a kiss or whatever?" And so they just like, in Arzette with his Dale character, they dialed that up to 11. So he's like this total absolute dweeb, which is really funny. You start out the game and it's parodying the opening of the CDI game, where it says, "Oh, only Arzette, a member of the royal family, can defeat Dimer." And then Dale pops in and he goes, "Great, another adventure for me to not go on. See you later. Be home before dinner." So he's a total dweeb, and it's funny.
And apparently a cook.
True.
You can cook stuff too. Yeah, no, I don't know. My interest level is kind of, it's one of those, like, I'll check it out if it's on sale. You know, I thought it looked like a fine game from what I saw of it, but I don't know.
So I'm curious, what is the gameplay versus like video? What would you say the ratio would be?
Oh, well, I mean, there's a lot of video in there, but it's not an FMV game. You know, out of the,
so it's just like cutscenes are animated essentially.
Yeah. So if you have any familiarity with the CDI games, you know that like you'll tap on a character, you hit the character with your sword to talk to him, right? And then the animation will overlay in a really awkward way on the game scene. So it's not like cutting away to a whole other scene. It does that a couple of times. Most times it's just laying the characters, a close-up of the characters over the gameplay image. which is one of the things that stood out like a sore thumb on those CDI games, and that people were just kind of like, that's a questionable decision. But they ape that here. And it's not like it's, I wouldn't call it an FMV game, if that's what you mean by the ratio.
I kind of was, yeah.
Yeah, it's not an FMV game. It's got some cutscenes in it.
Yeah, from what I saw on the CDI one, yeah, it very much does that, where like you walk into a room and you hit the guy with the sword, and then it's like the shopkeeper, but you get a little animation of the shopkeeper talking to you, like that sort of thing, you know. So I imagine this game works the same way, like kind of like with your, when you run into characters and talk to them, it like jumps to the CGI or the FMV stuff, the animated, more or less, right?
Yeah, they're all funny, and they're voiced by like some popular YouTube people and all that stuff, which, I mean, it fits along the lines of the original, which was not voiced by professional voice actors. So it's all very tongue in cheek. There's even one moment that I found where there's one character who's just kind of like this cool dude. He's hanging out in it's supposed to be a hot tub. He's sitting in lava like it's a hot tub. He's just chilling out, relaxing. And he's talking about how, oh yeah, I have the ability to see into other worlds. And he goes on to describe the plot of, without naming it, he goes on to describe the plot of the Zelda CDI games. And he's like, oh yeah, this happened and that happened, and there were many faces of evil, which is the name of the game. Okay. And Arzette's like, oh yeah, yeah. Sounds like a hero came along to save the day. And he goes, yeah, well, you know, mistakes were made. And he's just like casting aspersions on this shitty CDI games.
Yeah, I heard that a lot of the jokes are very much like kind of rely on your knowledge of the original Zelda games, like that sort of thing. Like that's kind of what I saw with a lot of the reviews, where it's like, you know, it's a decent 2D platformer, but a lot of it is relying on how much you know of the original games. And if you like that style or whatever, that sort of thing.
I wouldn't even say it's relying on how much you know of. I mean, I think you can prep yourself for this game and get in on the joke with like a 15-minute review of YouTube.
Sure, yeah.
Just, oh yeah, that's the style. That's how crappy those old games looked. And it's funny that somehow got made back in 1993. Cool, I'm all caught up. I can play RZ and, you know, get an extra boost of you know, humor from it. Now, if you don't know the Zelda CDI games, whatever, it's still a good game. Like I said, probably I'd say a 7, but maybe an 8 or 9 if you are in on the joke.
And you said you got 100%. Like, what do you? Are there extra stuff you got to? Like, what do you? Are there things to collect in there that you have aside from the regular game?
Yeah, there are things to collect, and you can beat the game without getting 100% of them. Like, you know, it's not required to get every last little thing. There's one quest in particular where you're upgrading your weapon to, you know, the ultimate weapon, the master sword, if you will. You don't have to get the ultimate weapon. You can go to the end boss at a certain point without getting all that extra stuff. So I think you could defeat the game with like, you know, 80% or whatever, but with a little extra effort, you know, you can get there. It's a fun game. It's not too challenging. I think it's a perfect weekend game, to be honest. You ever got a weekend where you're like, I don't want to play what's on my Switch right now. I just want to get something and have it be a, you know, one and done. Cool. That's a good game. Plus there is a hero mode after you beat the game, you know, ups the challenge and all that. Also, one thing that I think original CDI fans, if there are any, will appreciate is that, yes, you can set it to the original controls, which were using up for jump.
Oh, God. Yeah. Talk about incredibly annoying. Imagine doing that with the CDI controller also. Like, I can't imagine that being fun. Yeah, up to jump.
Yeah, I intend to get that.
Yeah. Only works for, I don't know. Let's say that it only works for fighting games. You press up to jump.
It's still annoying in some fighting games.
I did try one other game this week. The name of it escapes me right now.
So you really liked it?
I can't remember. No, I did not. I did not like
it. Meant a lot to you then, since you can't remember it.
That's right. It's called the Unables, and it's got a demo. I'll say some good points about the game is that it looks very nice. Like the graphic design of it is really nice, and the physics of it feel pretty nice. Just feels like there wasn't quite enough to do. So what it is, it's a puzzle game where the premise is that everybody in the world is too lazy to do anything. And so you have to nudge them along to accomplish their tasks. And so like, basically it's a physics comedy puzzle game, which I like those physics based puzzle games. So I thought I'd give it a try. Sure. The demo, tried it for free, whatever. And so you got to rotate the room to toss items around to get your guy to certain corners of the room and to touch certain things, like, oh, he's too lazy to go get a soda. All right, so turn the room around so that this ragdoll guy falls over into the corner by the fridge and gets a soda. And that's every puzzle that I've found in there so far. So it started off with like a good premise and good physics, and it runs well and all that. I just felt like it never went beyond, like, at least in the demo, that one thing of like turning the room around to get the guy over to the object. And there's even a wrestling level, which I thought, okay, maybe there's a good premise there. You have an action button that's, you know, context sensitive and all that. So you can throw guys around the wrestling ring and hit the action button to make them punch at each other. And to a degree, it's funny, but it's just like, it doesn't have any depth to it. It is only like $6. So I don't know. There's that to consider. And it's got, I think it's the voice of the guy from Postal too. His voice sounded very familiar.
I was looking at it on the eShop right now, and it says that it's on sale for $11.69. Marked down from $12.99. Unables, right?
The Unables, yep.
Yeah.
Would you have more fun for $6 playing this game or converting $6 into quarters and then throwing the quarters at stuff?
I think something between the two. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was worth it for the free demo.
Just remember that throwing quarters is actually pretty fun. Just don't forget that.
I don't think I'd I'd rather not like waste $6 throwing quarters. I mean, I think I can get a lot more out of $6 from
I don't know. Maybe you were never a kid when you would like have a penny and you throw it. You'd be like, somebody's going to find that, and that's going to like make their day. They're going to like be able to pay for dinner tonight or something.
Not with pennies.
I was a kid. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But quarters, you could buy a whole meal with that.
Not anymore.
I know that as an adult.
Yeah, you can buy a candy bar for about $3. So if you got a whole lot of quarters, then you got like 12 quarters, then maybe you can buy a candy bar. It's expensive
now. This has been Math with Nintendo Domain.
No, I would rather play a game than throw quarters and stuff. But I mean, the thing that I like the best out of what I see on the eShop here is there's a level called, instead of Count Dracula, it's called Can't Dracula. So that's kind of fun. Do you have to like force the Dracula to bite people or something? It shows like fake teeth on a plate. So maybe you gotta.
It's like one to.
You gotta stick the teeth. You gotta make the Dracula fall on the teeth, and then put a person under there so they can bite him, I guess. I don't know, something like that.
First, they have to trick the person into inviting them in their house. So they gotta be like, you gotta roll them over to a place where you make invitations.
You gotta take the floor out, and then they can just fall into their downstairs neighbors or something like that.
That's it for me.
It's for Unables. Did you want to, I don't know, since you're leaving like in 30 minutes, did you want to just like go through the news and then Jeremy and I could do our stuff later?
Sure.
Because you're normally the news person. Like when you're not here, we don't talk about news at all normally.
We usually don't much.
News, 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 news. Don't snooze or you miss the news.
There's been like 3 Turtles games that have like been announced like while you weren't on the show that we've never talked about. Right? There's at least like 2 of them. There's like all these brand new Ninja Turtles that I always want to mention, but we never like, yeah. we're either like out of time or I don't think about it or whatever. But one of them, they're actually doing a video game. I'm sure they've done it before, but they're doing a video game of the 2012 Turtles show, which I like. So I was excited about that one, but they're also doing a video game that's like a sequel to the movie too, right? They're doing like 2 different
movie.
2 different ones. Like the newest.
Was 2012 Turtles the one that had the the female Ninja Turtle?
No.
That was like the 1995 Power Rangers.
Yeah, the buff one. That was no, the 2012 one was actually the best of all of them that I've seen of any of the cartoons. That was the one where Rob Paulsen was playing Donatello instead of Raphael, where he switched turtles. But aside from that, it was actually done really, really well. It's written really well. It had a bunch of names. What was it? What's his face was on there? Jason Biggs was like the voice of Leonardo, but then he quit to go do something else. And what was it? Seth Green ended up replacing him, and they did this episode where Leonardo gets in this big fight, and he comes back later, and his throat was damaged, and that's why his voice changed. I thought that was funny.
That's kind of funny.
But they did all these really cool parodies of like of 80s movies and horror movies and all sorts of shit. Anyway, it's great. It's much better than the original show, in my opinion. But I watched the whole thing, like all the way to the end. Like they used to be on Hulu or whatever. But I just think it's cool that they made a show of that. Or made a game of that, because that was my favorite show out of all of them. That's the one that I care the most about. And they had like little episodes about where the names came from and all that. Like they had little more backstories and stuff. And I thought it was generally funny too. So give it a look if you can. I'm sure it's on some streaming service somewhere. But
was there a third one too?
I don't know. Like I said, there's been so many that I thought you put something on here about it, but maybe it's a different Turtles thing. I know there's some. Oh no, that's just the Cowabunga collection isn't listed in Japan.
Yeah, that's strange to me. It's getting delisted in Japan. It's got to be some kind of weird rights thing or something. I can't understand why. I think it's a popular game, which only came out, 2 years ago? Why are they getting rid of it? I don't know.
Maybe it's just like a glitch or something, because what was it? Octopath Traveler 1 like got delisted on Switch too, but I thought it was like it was just a mix-up or something like that. I don't know.
Hopefully it comes back. But here's one that interested me a lot over this past week. Team 0% is trying to clear every Mario Maker level before the servers go down.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I haven't watched any of them, but I've heard people talk about it, and I'm sure you'd find that interesting because of all the time that you put into Mario Maker 2.
Mario Maker 2.
Because because the Wii U internet's like a few weeks away, right? It's going out like mid-April. It did make me kind of want to. Yep. I don't know, maybe play Splatoon 1 online or something again before it dies. You know, just jump on there and try to get into that. I haven't yet, but.
And they're actually, Team 0% has actually defeated every level except for one. Only one level remains. And it's a 17-second level, which at the time of this article, which is 2 days ago, had 43,000 attempts. And no clears.
It's really interesting that someone actually made it and completed it, but no one else has done.
Well, I mean, whoever made it completed it, because you have to put it on the internet. But aside from that,
there's a video.
I feel like that person could step forward and
and help them out
and do it.
Give some tips at least.
Yeah, right.
So that person did actually upload the video of themselves clearing it when they cleared it. And so I watched that. I watched someone do a breakdown of that video, and it's I don't know. I think Mario Maker stuff is fascinating, you know, even just watching it passively, but even more so when you get into the nitty gritty of it and people just making these insane levels where you have to be frame perfect on 18 jumps in a row and all that kind of stuff. It's fascinating to watch. So I'm hopeful that they will actually go ahead and do it, because this is like, you know, an underdog story. It's something, you know, that doesn't seem important, but it's just like, let's all rally around and do something positive in this world. And you know, I'm just rooting for them. I hope it happens.
So obviously they're just searching for like 0% completion, right? That's like kind of where the name came 0% from. 0%
completion. Yes.
To find all of the levels.
That's at least somebody's just like, no, we gotta eck everything out of this, squeeze everything out before they take it away from us.
Yeah, you gotta hook up your Wii U, John, and get one game of Splatoon 1 in there before it goes away. Gotta play that first one time.
I think it shows a lot of respect to the people who made the levels too. Like, your levels matter, you know. Like, anybody who made a level, it matters, because somebody out there wants to beat every level. Somebody out there wants every level to be beaten, I should say. But it's kind of cool. It kind of gives even my little levels I made more importance.
Yeah, and shutting down online games, you know, it's always a little sad, but I think it's maybe never more sad than in a game where that relies so much on player creation. Because it's not just like, oh, these levels, you know, we're never going to be able to compete against each other in these levels anymore. Whatever. It's, I don't know how many, a couple hundred thousand levels that people have made. I don't know, maybe a million levels. I don't know how many.
I'm sure it's over a million.
Yeah, and all that creativity just poof.
I bet 600,000 of them are 1-1, but still.
Yep, true.
yeah, probably. Oh my god, those 1-1 games. I do want to play Mario Maker 1 again on Wii U, because that was my favorite one, you know, more than the other ones. So that was the
I remember one time I was at
I really liked
your house visiting Trey, and we were altering the levels on the fly and then taking turns playing them. It was really fun.
That's what Jess and I would do also. I think, well, I remember John stayed there one time and we played Mario Maker 1 on Wii U, and we stayed up really late, and then we were playing that one level that was like the tower. Like, that was one of my favorite ones that I had like marked. Mm-hmm. But I mean, also, like, you know, you can play Mario Maker 1 and remember how cool it was when you could have the amiibo skins on there of your different, of the different things, you know, which we never got for 2. And that was a big thing for me. Like, I really missed that.
I liked
sort of thing.
The whole headcanon you could create
where you could do
stuff.
Like,
that's
yeah,
really fun.
Yeah, you could do more themed stuff. Like, you can make like I made like a Metroid level that had like the Metroid skin in there from the amiibo, or they would do like events. Like,
Why can't Metroid crawl?
I remember they did a whole thing where it was like with Pokemon, where it's like, oh, you can play as the different, like, the, you know, like the main, like, first 3 starters or whatever from Pokemon, like, we're in there as sprites and stuff like that. Like, for, you know, like, they would have like events involving games and you could use sprites for them. And it was really cool. Like, I felt like they cared more about, well, I mean, they definitely cared more about 1 than 2, right? Because 2 kind of got abandoned not that long after it came out. But yeah, I'd like to jump back on there and try it out.
I think 2 is like, yeah, they were like, we added all this stuff, but we took away one of the best features because of the hardware. So, yeah. I guess we just kind of fucked ourselves there, which I'm talking about the touchpad, of course.
Touchpad, yeah. You know, I think they should just open it. It's so weird to me that they had the iPhone app and everything, and like, why didn't you just open it up to be editable on touch screens on phones and iPads and that kind of thing?
Yeah,
like, that would have been a great solution. Through your own app, yeah. Now, me personally, I had no problems with creating on the controller. And I only ended up making 3 levels, but I was used to doing it on the controller. But I could see immediately, like, hey, why don't you just open it up to use it on your app that you already have? You know?
If nothing else, how cool would it be if, like, you got a notification when someone was playing your level, and you'd be like, oh.
Yes.
And then maybe you could somehow interact with them in some, like, really, like, base way. Like, maybe you could, like, make some fireworks happen or something and say, like,
right,
good luck, or, you know, kudos. What I mean, like,
oh, that'd be really cool. Yeah, if you could make it interactive, somebody was there and you could drop a note or something. That's a whole nother level. That's Mario Maker 3, right?
Yes, that's my number one complaint about Mario Maker is make it more social, make it easier for people to create levels, share levels, create playlists of levels that you could recommend to your friends. Show us, like, make it its own little social network where I can check in and see all the levels that Trey has played, and, you know, what levels Jeremy liked the best and all that stuff. Like, that's why Mario Maker 2 died off so quick, just because it felt like it was a little walled in. I don't know, it was just not transparent enough.
It was so weird because the first game, the first game offered so much potential. It was like, oh, now we don't ever have to play another Mario game, you know, when the first Mario Maker came out.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be no more Super Mario Brothers games, which there wasn't, and that's kind of cool. But after that, like, I don't know. It seemed like it got less as time went on. Like, obviously, they released the 3DS version, which was super truncated.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't even play online at all or play other people's levels. So you could make levels, but you could only play them yourself, as far as I know.
Yeah, you could. Well, you could make levels and you could share them, but you had to do it like, I think it was through like Street Pass or something. You had to do it like 3DS to 3DS. So I remember making a joke about it when you bought it, and then I bought it later too. But about like hanging out at like playgrounds or something like that, and hoping that people would pass you so you could get your level to them or whatever. Because you couldn't upload it. Even though I think you could still, couldn't you still do the random thing though, where you could play random games? Like if you did like the Mario, you know how it had like that single player thing where you could do like they give you like 100 lives.
It would, but I think it was like a limited amount of levels. Like there's something about like selected levels they would allow you to play. And then also the big thing about that version was, you know, that came back in Mario Maker 2, which was the let's play the campaign of the the levels made by Nintendo designers. So that was really fun.
Yeah, that was why
that was probably the best part about the 3DS version. Otherwise it was so truncated. So when 2 came out, you're like, well, they made a great one with all this potential. Then they made another one, which, you know, also had a ton of potential, but because of hardware limitations, you know, we can kind of sort of give them that. But then on the brand new console with better hardware, I don't know. It's like somewhere in between the two, really.
Well, we got the online, we got the multiplayer
online. I say multiplayer and online and all that is a pretty big thing. And like people being able to create their own, people could create their own worlds, so to speak. Like that was cool, but I don't know. They just kind of shot themselves in the foot. That could have become the game to release a console with.
It could have really done. Yeah.
Instead of a new Mario game, it's a new Mario Maker game, which is like Mario Paint, Mario Maker all combined into one.
Yeah. And it's not because of a lack of interest. I'll tell you that, because there are still people out there, there's still YouTube channels and Twitch streamers who just primarily do Mario Maker.
I was talking about lack of interest from Nintendo, not the players from the company.
Oh yeah, no, I wasn't even trying to say that there was lack of interest from. Yeah, I wasn't trying to piggyback on what you were saying. I'm just making a new point that I think that the players are out there, and they're still going strong. And they'll even when Mario Maker shuts down, they'll still be streaming Mario Maker 2. They'll be doing that until that shuts down, and you know, just come on, give us the Mario Maker 3 of our dreams. Just like pull out all the stops, make it fucking amazing, and it could be. There's no reason why that Mario Maker 3 couldn't or shouldn't be Nintendo's Fortnite, the ever expanding, always online service that just draws more and more people in. That could be like honestly their Fortnite if they did it right. Just make it something that
I don't see it, but that would be cool.
If you constantly like promote and highlight people's new levels and all that stuff, and just make it something, you know, build up the community is what I'm saying. Like I think there's a community of Mario fans, no one doubts that, and there's creative people out there who could just like build and sustain this ever-growing, game as a service.
Think of them as unpaid employees.
Yep.
The date, the ending date of the Wii U is April 8th at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So, still got a couple weeks in there. But I do want to play some Wii U stuff before it completely gets shut down. Definitely want to jump back into Mario Maker.
Same
one, just for the fun of it.
Mention, it's the 30th anniversary of Super Metroid.
Yep,
yeah, of Japanese
March 19th,
Japanese release
in Japan. Yep,
yeah,
March 19th, 1994. US release was April 18th, so shortly just around the corner. Yep, 30 years of Super Metroid,
still one of the best platforming games ever made.
Yeah, still it's still one of the best Metroidvania games ever made. Or just minus the Vania, just Metroid. No, Super Metroid's like my favorite game ever, so
it's one of those timeless games, I think, that it just holds up so good.
Yeah, it still holds up. I still think that there's one of us who hasn't played through it yet. And their name is John. But you should play.
I've defeated that game twice.
You should play through the game. I've played it. I played it a billion times. I beat it in an hour and a half when I was in high school, so I could get the special bikini ending. No, I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to see if I could beat it in less than 3 hours, and I did.
But
it was a game. It was a game that I studied pretty much. I played it over and over and over again. You know, we talked about it before. We had the bird that came out of the basement while I was playing it. Had all sorts of memorable times with that game. But no, I think it's really, really good. It's on Nintendo Switch Online. It's still kind of fresh because I played through it again before Dread came out. But yeah, I think it's a great game. Killer soundtrack. Has a really good, like, I feel like every, like, all the levels have this really cool, like, feel to them. You know, like the presence of the levels. And the way
I don't think like atmosphere is matched by many other games on Super Nintendo. Like,
yeah, the atmosphere
aside from
is
RPGs, like you know, Mario World obviously has a good atmosphere. I don't know; it's just more bright and cheery. Whereas Metroid, Super Metroid, especially, just really makes you feel like you're alone with a bunch of monsters.
Well, like
atmosphere.
I mean, Metroid. Yeah, I mean, Super Mario World sure looked cool, but it didn't have like Super Metroid. You start off like you're in the world of Metroid 1 and there's like nothing there. And it just has the feeling of emptiness, you know, and then everything kind of discovers you while you're there. Like I never really experienced anything like that.
And it talks to you. It says, once again, the galaxy is a beast.
Well, that's the beginning, but that part's not important. But the actual like, you know, presence of everything in there is really, really cool. Or like when you go to like the ghost ship, you know, like just how that kind of comes alive and chases you. It's just, I never really like experienced anything like that at the time, and it really blew me away. So yeah, wonderful game. Play it, it's on there. You can try to get through.
We'll be coming up on a lot of good 30-year anniversaries this year, because 94 was a great year for games.
Yeah, 94 is a pretty big year, and I got it for my 14th birthday that month. After that was one of my favorite teenage birthdays, because I got not one but two games. I got Super Metroid and Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball in one birthday. So that's pretty cool.
That's a good birthday.
Rarely get two games. So I remember that was a pretty cool thing for me.
Last bit of news that I wanted to mention was the Video Game Hall of Fame has announced this year's nominees.
Oh?
Yes. And among the nominees, drum roll as my phone loads the page. Okay. We've got.
Did you drop out?
Hold on.
Drums.
The suspense.
There it is. Asteroids. A game called Elite, which was from 1984. And they say it pioneered innovative 3D graphics and the idea of open world games. I've not heard of that game. Guitar Hero. Metroid.
Yeah.
Myst. Yeah. Neopets. Interesting. Resident Evil, SimCity, Tokimeki Memorial, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ultima, You Don't Know Jack.
You Don't Know Jack, yeah.
So many of these are like,
they're
kind of
all over
the
place.
I'm just surprised. Like Asteroids, cool, really?
Yeah.
Asteroids isn't already in the Video Game Hall of Fame.
You're going from like Asteroids to You Don't Know Jack. Like
that's one of the best. Yeah. That's one of the best like old school games that exists. Asteroids.
It is, but I'm trying to remember how long it's been that they've been doing this. I think this is less than 10 years that they've been doing the Video Game Hall of Fame, and so that I think that would explain why a bunch of the like old true classics aren't in there yet, because I think they've from the start tried to catch up on 40 years of history. And
so they probably did already do like Space Wars and
I think Pong Computer Space is in there and Pong is in there. Yeah,
or Computer Space, right? Space Wars was a different one.
I think they've with all of these nominations, they've always tried to get a mix of the really old, like, you know, the definite, you know, stone cold classics, the Pac-Mans and all that stuff, with some more like recent classics, like say 20 years old games, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so that's why some of the games are like, yeah, Asteroids, isn't that in there already? Yep. So,
and it's like, You Don't Know Jack, like, okay, but at the same time, like, isn't that the basis of like all the Jackbox games that came from that, right?
Yeah. And those, so makes those were big at the time, though. Like,
I mean, we still play You Don't Know Jack. Like, Jess loves that game. So yeah. That's the reason that I bought,
played it.
Like, well, it was on, I forget which one it's. It's on one. Jackbox Party Pack 1 has You Don't Know Jack on it. And what was it, 7? Because we bought the newer one. It's either like Jackbox Party Pack 7 or 8 has like the newest version of You Don't Know Jack on there. But I remember playing You Don't Know Jack in college, actually, at Lincoln Christian College. I remember playing in like 1999 or something like that. But that's it's like a local thing. It's like from Chicago area, too, so... The company,
yeah, Jellyvision.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that game, it was one of those games that if you had a CD-ROM drive, you definitely had You Don't Know Jack, because it probably came with your computer. There was you used to always get like a slew of CDs with your computer when you bought one, and You Don't Know Jack invariably was one of those CDs. And I think it did a good job of pulling in interest from people who maybe were not going to play a video game otherwise, because it was a quiz game and, you know, it was easily approachable and it was fun to watch too. Like, if you walked into a room and someone was playing You Don't Know Jack, you were likely to jump in and try to answer a few questions yourself. And it was easily inviting in that way. I remember playing a lot of that over at my friend's house, and I had a copy myself and I would play that a lot too. So I think that's a good selection.
It was the last You Don't Know Jack, the newest one that you can get on Switch, is in the Jackbox Party Pack 5. Is that one, which is actually on sale right now. You can get it for $16.49, and it's totally worth that amount of money if you have people to play it with. Actually, You Don't Know Jack, I think you can play single player as well, and, you know, two player. But yeah, no, it's still pretty fun. Like, we still play it, and with the amount that we've played it, we haven't really run into any repeats yet. But it has like different episodes. Like, every time you play it, it goes to a different episode, so it'll have different questions in it every time. And I don't know how many episodes total there are, but it kind of keeps moving in its own thing, you know, to try to keep it fresh and all that, which is pretty cool. So, yeah.
I think these nominations, one thing that I've noticed over the years, they do a good job of bringing in, of course, all the stuff that you'd want to be nominated, but then also just some stuff you might not have heard of. Like, I never heard of Tokimeki Memorial. I'm reading about it for the first time now. Have you guys heard of this game?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. But I've definitely heard it on a
podcast. Like a hospital name or something.
It says Konami's Tokimeki Memorial brought a cohesive narrative, colorful graphics, unparalleled depth of choices, and engaging gameplay to the dating simulator genre after its launch in 1994. While it was never localized outside of Japan, its impact on game design was widespread, paving the way for graphic adventure games, visual novels, dating sims, role-playing games to invest more in personal relationships as part of their gameplay loop.
Seems important.
It's a pretty good argument.
I love relationship mechanics in video games, so... I am thankful for the pioneers, I guess.
I think the reason didn't it like become like Sakura Wars or something like that? I think that's probably why I heard it, because I think they talked about it in Axe of the Blood God, the Tokimeki Memorial.
Yeah, it sounds really
familiar. Or Sakura Wars like spun off from that, because they just did like a pantheon about that game. So maybe that's where I hear it from, because I know that name. So maybe that was it. They got a shit ton of these games, actually. If you look up Tokimeki Memorial, there's like, the first one is in 1994, going all the way up to this year. Tokimeki Memorial Girls Side Third Story came out this year. Actually, there's 3 Tokimeki Memorial games that have come out this year for Nintendo Switch.
Is it all the different stories? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, well, First Love, Second Season, and Third Story all came out this year. So, I mean... They must be like Japan only, right? But yeah, there's a shit ton of these games. Yeah, the originals for like Sega Saturn. Oh, there's Super Famicom one also. So yeah, cool stuff. Yeah, and on the subject of the Video Game Hall of Fame, yeah, it started in 2015. So yeah, it's not quite 10 years old. So yeah, it's like John was saying, you got to kind of get you want to get games in there, but you want to get ones different types, you know, not like all of the same thing. Didn't GoldenEye get, no, there it is. I was like, didn't it get denied like 1 year or something like that? I remember us talking about it.
I know it got nominated. I don't know if it got in or not.
I don't know if it's, I'm looking at a list. It's on a list here on Wikipedia, but I don't know if these are all the ones that actually made it. Maybe not. Maybe only if they're highlighted or the ones that made it.
Yeah, I don't know what of the nominees, like how many actually get in. But if I were to say like the three that I think would be my picks to get in, tough call because there's some really good ones on here. Personally, Myst, I think that's got a great argument because, I mean, it practically was everybody's first CD-ROM game. And it definitely like blew your mind and proved why CD-ROMs were a necessary step forward, and it proved the value of CD-ROMs.
I think it looked like Asteroids and Voxels, and then Myst with that. Like, there's a certain like genre they represent that mm-hmm. they're important for.
My first CD-ROM game was Seventh Guest. By the way, not Myst.
Okay.
And you have that game on Switch also.
But I do. Before Myst.
But I never bought Myst. But I did. Well, I didn't. I mean, I never owned Myst, but I owned Seventh Guest. But I don't know if I could only pick three out of here. Definitely Metroid 1. I would put on there.
Yep.
That's a tough one.
I think I'd pick that too.
I'd pick Guitar Hero for sure.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
It's basically between. I don't know. It would be hard for, because I'm like Metroid for sure, and then it would either be.
Ooh, SimCity though.
I never really played any of those games.
They're pretty good.
I mean, that's what I heard. I think I have.
I played a shit ton of it on the SNES.
I was gonna say I think I have the Super Nintendo one. I've just never really messed around with it. But yeah, I was gonna say Metroid. It's like Metroid, Resident Evil, and it would either be Tony Hawk or Guitar Hero. I'm not sure. They're both. They both have their own merits. If I could only pick three, so I don't know.
Yep, I don't know when the winners get announced, but yep.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, or do you want to just?
Yeah, I think I'm good. I'm gonna have to get going.
You don't want to talk about the new Kevin Smith game? I'm kidding. I haven't even watched that. I haven't even watched the trailer.
Husk for the game, the movie,
the Chronic Blunt Punch.
It's a digital eclipse game.
Yeah, I've been meaning to look at it, but I haven't looked at it yet.
I've got the Jay and Silent Bob game that's already out, the NES style one. It's pretty good. It's good. You know, it's worth it. So this trailer, I saw that too. It looks like a pretty good game. I was kind of surprised because I was like, oh, there already is a Jay and Silent Bob beat 'em up game, but I guess it must have done well and they're doing another one.
Yeah, why not? Get in that video game world, I guess. All right. Well, we'll take a break and Jeremy and I will come back, but John will.
Sounds good.
Out. So, welcome.
Hey, you.
It's me, Mario.
Yeah, you. Subscribe to our Patreon to hear our bonus shows, which happen every month.
I'm tired.
Tired of all the big corporate podcasts spoon-feeding you the same old video game news on every single show.
Ah, spaghetti. Ah, ravioli.
Then expand!
With Nintendo Main Expansion Pack.
It's us talking about old games that were important to us. It's us interviewing people that we meet at conventions. And heck, it's live shows from those same conventions. It's basically everything you could want that Nintendo Main ever made.
Here we go!
And it's just a buck a month.
That's less than a bad indie on the eShop.
It's $12 a year, which is less than Nintendo Switch Online.
Thank you so much for subscribing to our Patreon and supporting Nintendo Domain.
Just go to patreon.com/NintendoMainPodcast and... Hey, Mario, let go!
Whoa. Whoa.
He's throwing us back to the show!
So long, eh, Bowser!
Patreon.com/NintendoMainPodcast!
Game over!
Stuff we have now that John's gone. We can talk about him now that he's not here anymore.
I really dislike how well organized he is and gives structure to the show. Wait, actually, I like that. Damn it. I'm no good at talking shit.
Yeah. I'm glad we had him for the news because we don't really cover the news.
I agree.
At all. But now that he's not here, we could just talk about everything we've been playing, which hasn't been
now.
That
it's going to turn up true chaos.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't been that much, but I actually have been, you know, I've been home. I've been having a little bit of a break here from work, so that's pretty cool. So I haven't been doing much else.
Have you had to do any driving or anything?
No. I'm taking the week off. If nothing happens next week, I'll drive. That's what my plan is. But in the meantime, I'll just watch the money flow in. I mean, I have two more paychecks that haven't got here yet. But one of them will be here on Friday. But I had some extra time, so I wanted to, like, you know, I got a list of stuff, like trying to put some more stuff together downstairs, and one of the main things was buying an extra TV for the basement. So, as I said earlier, as my nickname in the beginning of the show, is that I have two TVs next to each other in the basement now. For any of the patrons, they might have noticed that this TV behind me is bigger now than the other one.
Oh.
So, I switched the TVs.
A little bit of a shift.
So, I had a 30... So, basically, I had a 40... This is like a 40-inch, I think, down here. And I wanted to... It was in the other room, and I was like, I should get another TV here so I can play video games and watch TV at the same time. Because I've heard of people doing that, and it's always been intriguing to me to try it
out.
I
do that.
So, I should try that. I was like, I should get another 40-inch. And I was like, oh, well, I can't get another 40-inch because there's not enough room for it. So, I was like, but I could switch my 40-inch to my 32, and then I could put two 32s next to each other. So that's what I did. So I bought an Insignia smart TV from Best Buy.
Best Buy.
It's like Best Buy's brand, the Insignias.
Yeah.
But you can get them for really cheap.
My first flat screen I ever bought, still have it in my garage. It's an Insignia.
Oh, yeah. So it's still working. That's good to know.
But no, it still works.
I was just looking at, like, what's a really cheap TV I can get for like 32 inches? And they had the regular Insignia for, you could buy it for like $89. I was like, well, that's cheap as fuck. But I wanted to get the smart version. So I could get the smart version for $119. So that's what I got. The smart 32 inch. But it's cool because it's like a Fire TV. So it basically does all the things that my Fire tablet does. So I can, but it's, you know, my Samsung TV that I have upstairs is a smart TV too. So I wanted something that could connect to the internet. You know, if you have an internet TV, you can pretty much stream anything on your phone to that if you're on the same network, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But my original idea was, like, I was going to play everything on the new TV and then, you know, just use the Chromecast on my old TV. But I think everything still looks better on the Samsung than it does on the Insignia, like video games do. So I actually switched them. I was playing it on the new TV for a while, but I switched it back to the old TV because I think it looks better. But regardless, anyway, now I can watch, basically can watch wrestling and play video games at the same time. And I did that. I switched my TVs around. I kind of moved some of the stuff around here so you could
see it. Trey has four TVs in their basement now.
Yeah, four TVs. Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's pretty cool, though. It's a fun thing to do. Or you can listen to, you know, or I'd like play a podcast on one of the TVs. I can do that, yeah, too, because it's, you know, because it's internet, or I can watch YouTube on there, whatever, that sort of thing.
I think you're starting to understand why a dual monitor is a great thing to have.
Yeah.
With a computer set up.
Sure. Because
that's what I do. I'll have like a show going on one screen and while I'm doing something on one, like I'm playing a game on one screen, or I do that downstairs too, where I'm playing a video game on, you know, the big TV. Then I'll have like a TV show or a YouTube video on my tablet just sitting on the table. So it's like closer to me and I can kind of look down and look back up.
I mean, I've done that. I've done that before.
I've been doing that for a long time.
I've done that before for like video podcasts and stuff. Like if you watch like, I'll watch like an NBC podcast, like on YouTube, or I'll watch like Kevin Smith's podcast, but I won't really watch it. I'll just kind of listen to it. And I've tried to do I've done like where I watch wrestling on my tablet and I play like, and I play handheld next to it, but it's not the same as having two TVs right next to each other. It's just the idea of that makes it easier.
I need to come over and we both need to play Mario Sunshine, or what was it? Yeah, that.
Yeah, Mario Sunshine. Well, I did actually. I ordered an HDMI splitter so I can have.
Oh, cool!
So I can have the Switch on both TVs. So you can get one on Amazon for like $20 or whatever. So I ordered one of those.
That's fun. Well, so, those are good for like sending a signal to a TV and to another device as well.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say like. Yeah. Oh well, actually, these TVs down here do it. I can show it right here. If I don't have a signal from one of my systems, it'll automatically play two versions of, however, because I have like the one TV, now it's doing it. So because my one TV is sending into the computer and the computer HDMI is like going out into this TV, it automatically like mirrors whatever's on my tube TV to my HDTV. Which is kind of something I just randomly figured out one day. I didn't even know. I never tried to do it. It just was there all of a sudden. Because I had my HDTV and I was playing something on like the old 64 or something. And then it was just on both TVs. And I was like, whoa. So I kind of did that by accident. But no, what I was thinking like for the HDMI splitter thing was like.
It seems to be some lag.
Was like, well, probably. I don't know. I mean, it's sending it to my computer and back. But what I was thinking is. In case I had company or something, we could play. If we played like a multiplayer game, we could have it on both. I could have it on like both TVs or something like that. You know, is what I was thinking.
Cool.
So that sort of thing. But it's cool. It makes you feel like a supervillain. You know, like in those old comics where the supervillains have like a whole bunch of TVs and they're watching like multiple things at once. I think that was in the Watchmen movie in the comic. Like when they go there and they see Ozymandias watching like 12 TVs at once because he's so smart and he can watch all these TVs.
There also just was a time in history where people couldn't believe it'd be a giant screen, so it had to be a bunch of small screens that could composite one giant video if they wanted to.
I think the idea was also supposed to be like before internet, like if you have the ability to buy so many TVs, you could just like know everything because you're watching like every news channel at once or something like that. I don't want to do that because I'm not watching any news. But it was cool. I mean, I got home from the, you know, I was on the road for like a couple weeks for work and I got home and I had all this wrestling that I wanted to catch up on. So I just basically just played it like one after another on one TV while I was playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 on the other TV. And it was pretty fun. So I finally got that to work. So now I'll be spending more time down here. But it's a fun thing to have if you want to watch two TVs at once.
And like I said in the, I think on your Twitter, like I think you're trying to make your own like full room virtual boy. This is the beginning of it.
If only I could. Yeah, if only I
could. Figure out a way to like section each image into a separate eyeball. And then I think you're going to do it. I think you're going to have these big, long mirrored tubes that go into each eyeball.
I can have each TV play a different, eye thing from the virtual boy. And I'll just cross my eyes and then somehow it'll be 3D to me. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
But no, I've just been fucking around with it. And it's pretty cool. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to have.
It's really cool, and it sounds like you're having fun with your video signals and stuff, which that's a whole level of fun on its own. If you're trying to turn your room into a party room, like
have
some fun.
Yeah, there was some other. Oh yeah, I ordered these little stands, like for. I'm sure I talked about this before. I ordered these like singular stands for Amiibo, like from mm-hmm. Amazon, and that's what I ordered the HDMI splitter with also. But just because I want to take all my Xenoblade ones and put them next to my like Xenoblade posters on the side. So like, and we were thinking about.
So are they stands to mount it to the wall?
Yeah, they're just little they're like, because I just put these shelves up here too. These amiibo that are over here.
Right there. Oh, I see them
up there. I put like three of them up there. But they've been there were these extra shelves that I had that were in different places at the old apartment. I hadn't put them anywhere yet, so I was going to put them down here. So I put them down here, and I put a bunch of amiibo up there. But we wanted to get these singular ones for the Xenoblade characters. And also, Jess and I were talking about sticking them around upstairs. You know, we can have different amiibo, or not even amiibo, just like toys in different spots and that sort of thing. So we'll try those out and see how those goes. So yeah. Guess been kind of fucking around with that, but
okay. Yeah, claiming your space more, I like it.
Oh yeah, what I was gonna say,
y'all's house already looks great, but I do like the idea of y'all do more with the walls and
doing more stuff with it,
spreading your video games out through the whole house.
Well, we both still have a whole lot of toys that aren't that don't have like a place yet. We have toys that are still in boxes that aren't out that were on shelves.
Have you put up Jess's shelves that for all their erasers and stuff?
We do have like an eraser display thing, and Jess has a couple of displays with little characters on it and all that. But there is still some toys that we have that don't have spots. Like some of them are just like sitting on the window shelves down here because I don't know where else to put them. But we had like more space for stuff in the other one, but we're planning on getting more shelves and stuff to put them around, that sort of thing. But what was cool about the new TV that I got is it actually has more HDMI plugs than normal TV. Like my other TV had two ones. This one has three. So
that's nice.
So I hooked up my mini systems, who I actually haven't been doing anything for a long time. So I basically hooked up my Sega Master System Mini, my Super mm-hmm. Nintendo, and my NES Mini. So I haven't played those games in forever. So I like dug out my old controllers and hooked them up to the TV to make sure they worked, and just kind of, I didn't play the NES one. I only played the Super Nintendo and the Genesis one, but I kind of just wanted to see, you know, if it worked still, because I probably haven't used it in years, you know, so I was like, oh, I got an extra HDMI so I can plug that in, because they've just been sitting over here by the TV mm-hmm. just collecting dust. And I was like, well, I could have a designated HDMI signal.
See, I'm looking at mine right now. They're just sitting on a shelf.
Yeah. So then I can have them in front of the TV also, like kind of on display. So I have them there, and I played I played Super Nintendo. So I basically just fucked around with it, played a little bit of Street Fighter, played like F-Zero, you know, just to like play it on the TV, make sure it's working. It's, you know, like the controller's responsive and all that. I started the Mega Drive, the Sega Master System. It's the Master System because it's the Japanese version, not the Genesis.
Right.
But I played Super Street Fighter on there. I played the Tetris game, the one that was only on the Mega Drive Mini and all that. So I just kind of fucked around with that. But it's cool to have it hooked up now. I mean, I basically have to switch the USB and the HDMI between the different mini consoles, but they're all there. They're all next to each other, and I can just plug it right into the TV and just play it like that. So it's nice to have them where I can actually play them if I want to. I did see, when I was in Des Moines, John and I, we did see the PC Engine Mini, which I did really want, but I think it was selling for like $300 or something like that. And I was like, I don't want to pay that. I think it was $100 when it came out, but I did kind of want that, like the TurboGrafx-16 PC Engine, because it has like, apparently it has all the games that came out like for PC Engine on there, but some of them are only in Japanese. I mean, the only reason I would really want it is to play the Ease 1 and 2, the English version. Apparently it's really good on that because the PC Engine had like better soundtrack or whatever on there. But, yeah, but it's, like I said, it's too expensive. I'm not spending multiple hundreds of dollars on it. But last week when we were talking Battlefront 2, I was all upset because the Y-axis wasn't flipped and all that, which apparently they're updating it, but it hasn't been updated yet on the Switch. But
Are fixing that.
Yeah, they are fixing it. It's funny because I read through all the patch notes of it, and I guess it already patched it on PC, but not consoles yet. But What it says is, instead of saying that like the inverted y-axis was added, it says that they made the inverted y-axis option visible, is what it says on there. So I was like, is it there, but you just can't see it in the options? Like, That's what they. That's the way they worded it. Like they made it visible.
Hidden options. Huh?
Yeah. So it's like, oh, it was already there. Is that what you're? Because last week we were talking about like, why would you forget something like that? You know, everybody. You know, people need that. But they're saying that
we didn't forget. We just forgot to make it visible.
Yeah, we forgot to make it visible. I guess. And they said there were other options, like to swap the sticks and like the, you know, that sort of thing. That because I know a lot of. I remember my roommate Brandon would always play with the swips with the stick swapped and all that. And yeah. So anyway, it's supposed to come. It's supposed to be coming, but I my 8-bit Doe 2.0. I basically used that controller and I beat the game. So I played through it through the Rise of the Empire mode on Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is I beat it before on PS2. It actually was a lot harder than I remembered it being. That part, the part where you kill all the Jedis that I kept talking about, that level was a fucking pain in the ass because like the difference between Star Wars Battlefront 1, the idea, you know, they're all kind of like multiplayer games, you know, like you have a whole bunch, big squad of people and you're going around like capturing each other's bases and, you know, and you get different you get different characters you can use that have different weapons and stuff like that. That's how the first one was. In the second one, they brought in like heroes so you can play as like Jedis and stuff like that, which are way more powerful and they have more life. But, you know, once you die once with them, you don't get to use them again, like that sort of thing. So you kind of have to unlock them. And there's a story mode where you basically start off as the clones, as the 501st, as they were called. And you start at like the very beginning of like the prequels, you know, when you're fighting for the Jedis. And then you go through like Order 66 and you become the Empire and you fight all the way through Hoth. Like Hoth is the last level. Like, so you get to like blow up the, you get to blow up the shield generator and all that stuff and like make everybody leave the planet. And you get to like, you know, chase down the Millennium Falcon with Darth Vader and all that fun stuff. Like you get to do all the shit that's in the movies pretty much. So yeah, you play through like that. But once you get to the Jedi level, you know, that when you start, that's when after Order 66 has been declared, which that's where all the clones, you know, they have this, some chip in their head that make them all of a sudden they want to kill Jedis is the idea. But you get to the part where you go and kill all the Jedis, you know, where Anakin killed the kids and that sort of thing. And you have to work up to, like playing as Anakin. And if you fuck it up, like you don't get to use him again. So that's basically what was happening to me. And if you try, and at the very end of that level, you have to kill like these Jedi masters that are really hard to kill. And if you don't have Anakin and you're trying to kill him with like the stormtroopers, it's really hard because they can like one shot you with a lightsaber. They can basically throw a lightsaber at you from pretty far away and just automatically kill you. And the idea is you have a certain amount of reserves. And whenever you get to a different, like, checkpoint in the game, you get more reserves. Like, you get more characters to use. It's basically like getting more lives. But if you, you know, if you run out, then you lose. So I was having the hardest time with that one. But I did, like, what I normally do when I'm stuck on a thing. You know, I, like, turn it off. I take a break for a minute. And then I'll come back and play it later. And then I beat it, like, when I come back and play it. So that's basically what I did with that one. But it got way harder than that. That was nothing. Like there was a space level I was playing because there's all these like space battles now in the second one, which is really cool. Actually, at the time, I thought it was really cool. But there's this. It's like the final space battle that you do. You're supposed to be getting the revenge of like after the rebels already destroyed the Death Star. You're going back and you're like, all right, fuck. You know, this is our revenge on the rebels. We're gonna kill all these people. So you're basically fighting above Yavin 4. That was the planet they were on when they. When they like had the Death Star attack and all that, and you're you basically have to do all this shit, but you have to do it like in an amount of time. So it starts off and you have to destroy like 6 ships like in 2 minutes. And I was like, oh well, that's fine. Then you got to destroy 2 other ships, and you don't have a timer for that. That's fine. But then they give you 10 minutes to do 3 things. In 10 minutes, you have to destroy 10, basically 10 like fighters, like X wings, A wings, Y wings, whatever. You have to destroy 10 of them in 2 minutes. And you have to destroy these guns on the ship, and you also have to destroy 6 engines on the back of the ship as well in 10 minutes. And it's fucking hard as fuck to do all of it, because you basically have to destroy those 10 fighters like in the first couple minutes. And it's a lot more difficult than you think, because if they blow up without you shooting them, it doesn't count. Like if you shoot them and their life goes down to like 10% and they run into another ship, you don't get the count for it. So it's this whole thing. And I was like so frustrated with it that it was like sometimes when I can't beat a level, I was like, I need to watch somebody beat it. So I watched a video, a YouTube video. I put it on the other TV, and I was basically playing the game and watching this person, this YouTube person, also have trouble playing the game while I was playing it. And it felt kind of like, it felt like, I feel your pain and all that. But I finally got through it, and then I beat the game for Battlefront 2. But yeah, it's a fun game for what it is. I jumped online a couple times. I just went to like whatever's like, you know, easiest to get on, whatever's available. And it's basically just been like all the hero fight where it's just Jedi versus Jedi versus Jedi, where it's just like deathmatch, and you just play as all the souped up characters and all that, which is pretty fun. So I haven't done the regular version on there online, but
I'm a big fan of all these games that are bringing back the old online, like these communities that were gone for years, unless they were like, you know, some bootleg server or something. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Even though, I heard that they were saying that there wasn't enough, like, I don't know, people are upset about the online, but it's worked fine for what I've tried it on, but I've barely tried it. So it's, you know, whenever I try it, it works. But I've seen people, I saw one of it, what was it, the Gaming Outsider? We had them on our podcast way, way back when. Yeah. One of the hosts that I follow there did a review of it and said, like, you know, it's like remembering the old. He said back when multiplayer was still fun, which I saw that Dunkey made a video making fun of that term, and I was like, did he see the review that he did? But no, it's it reminds you of the old school multiplayer, and it's fun. It's another, like, you know, PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox game, and I love that era, so. It's been a lot of fun for me to play through like that. It's kind of what I find interesting is, you know, I watch all the new Star Wars stuff, you know, it's specifically like the David Filoni stuff, like Clone Wars, Rebels, Bad Batch now, and they've kind of changed the direction of the clones and the story of all that, and they've made them kind of like the main characters, and they do a lot, like now in the new like Star Wars story. The clones kind of like break off from the Empire when the Empire like first starts being the Empire or whatever. And this game shows the clones as being clones like all the way through the second, you know, the destruction of the second Death Star and all that. So it's kind of interesting to see like the story comparisons and all that. Because there's a level in Battlefront 2 where you actually go back to Kamino where all the clones were born and you fight new clones. Like they make a new army of clones. And I think they just wanted to have a level where it's like, what if we had like the new stormtroopers fight the old stormtroopers? Wouldn't that be funny? You know, and I think that's why they just made that. But it's always interesting to see like what was old canon and what's new canon and all that. I don't know. That's probably boring Star Wars nerd shit, but I think it's cool. I'm having a lot of fun playing these old Star Wars games that are on here now. It's the Switch has very much been a Star Wars machine for me, I guess.
See, the Switch is your system through and through.
Yeah.
It's full of boomer shooters and Star Wars games.
Yep. I mean, this has first person mode, so it is I would never call anything a boomer shooter, but you know, it is like you could consider it first person shooter-esque or adjacent or whatever. And now that I beat Battlefront 2, I've been just kind of fucking around with Battlefront 1. And Battlefront 1 is nowhere as fun as Battlefront 2. Like I said, it's much more stripped down. And the controls are kind of wonky. Like sometimes when I'm trying to just move the aim around, the aim like goes really much farther. And I had a kind of a hard time, like, you know, just like getting the aim correct and all that. But I've just been kind of trying to go through the single player on that. That single player is not as robust as the Battlefront 2 one. It's just basically kind of just like throwing level after level at you. You can pick whether you want to play in the prequel time or the regular trilogy time and all that. But a lot of it's just kind of like pure chaos. Like I was playing the regular trilogy era earlier today, and I was playing on like Tatooine, and it's just like there's just a bunch of shit. You know, you go around and shoot each other, but you can also use vehicles. So they have like speeders. They have speeders, but you can also get in X-wings and like fly around and shoot people like inside of the. It's just dumb. It's dumb fun. Like it's I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with this game, and I'll probably keep playing it for the next like couple weeks. I'm sure. I paid what, $31 for it. It's totally worth it. So that's basically what I've been playing between the two of them. Yeah, just going back and forth between Battlefront 1 and 2, and now I can, you know, I can flip the y-axis on my own with my 8-bit DOE 2.0. I don't have to wait for them to fix it, because if I was waiting for them to fix it, it would have been like 2 weeks, and I wouldn't be able to get around to it.
I mean, it all falls under the umbrella of accessibility, really. You know, you don't need the accessibility because of anything about your limited interactions with the what's already set up, but it's still good to make everything customizable. That's why these 8-bit Node controllers are so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do that, and they make it easy through like an app. You don't have to push every button and do all these crazy things like you used to have to do with third-party controllers.
Yeah, you could completely bypass the options if you wanted, like with it, when, you know, just putting it in your controller. You don't even have to fuck with the options. You already know that it's backwards, you know, that it's Y-flipped and all that. So it's great. It's a great thing to have. And I ever, you know, the only time I ever used it was on, on the Stadium Stampede, because Stadium Stampede never gave you a inverted Y-axis either on AEW Fight Forever. So I've been using this controller to do that. And I did actually play Stadium Stampede as well.
Are you sure it's not there? You just can't see it.
Yeah, it's just not visible, right? I did play Stadium Stampede just because I wanted to, you know, I was like, I should like watch wrestling and play wrestling at the same time. I just wanted to do that just because I could, you know, just, I was like, I could watch AEW and play AEW. So I decided that too. But it's fun. Two TVs, fun time to fuck around with. But I think that's all I got.
I mean, sadly, I don't have a whole lot to add this week. I've been super busy this week doing real life stuff, but in my downtime, I keep going back to the Resident Evil 4 remake. That's just all I play when I have a free moment, because it's so fun, and I'm on New Game Plus, and I'm just stupidly OP, but I'm also just like getting to the point where I'm strategizing beforehand because I know I'm going to face. And this game's just, I think it goes all the way back to the first time I finally got through this game, Resident Evil 4, where it was so scary to me, but eventually I beat it. And then I was like, and I could play it all the time, just like playing a game as a kid that intimidated you. And I still have that feeling even with this remake. I'm like, no, I want to just keep playing through it and like leveling up. And I know a lot of people complain about the crafting, but I actually kind of like it because it lets you make really valuable items that you can just hold in your inventory, and it's like a little bank account that you got if you need to sell stuff. So yeah, I'm nowhere near getting the infinite rocket launcher. They made it, you know, expensive enough that it's going to take at least two playthroughs to save up enough money. But by the time I get that, I'll still probably play it again.
I mean, it's like the game.
It's a good game.
It's like GameCube, right? Where once you get the infinite rocket launcher, you can just shoot everything with the rocket launcher and it'll automatically die, like more or less.
Yeah, which is not necessarily fun, but I still like it as an option. But right now I've got my, and I discovered this on the original one as well after a couple playthroughs, that like, if you have a Magnum, you don't need a rocket launcher.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. If you make it strong enough.
Yeah. If you got the Broken Butterfly maxed out, like you don't ever need a rocket launcher. But it is also, I guess the difference with the rocket launcher is you get the spread damage if you want to like, but even then I'm not even using my healing items anymore. Like I've gotten to the point where I'm selling, like I'm making my, my herb mixtures and then selling them and just putting that into upgrading weapons or whatever. So it's just a really fun game. I think the economy of Resident Evil 4 is one of the best video game economies, and probably just got me into that whole thing in the first place before I realized it. Like everything about the way you manage your inventory and stuff in that game is so fun.
I mean, they make entire games based around it, right? Like, they did on, I know there's ones on Switch where it's just all about like, you know, like the Tetris game of, moving your items around in your luggage and all that. Like they did make a whole game about that.
Is that Unpacked or something like that?
We talked about it before. I know John thought it was a little to the left. It's not that one. It's a different one, but yeah, but there is one that's just, it is basically just the Resident Evil, just that part where you could flip the stuff around in your inventory to make it fit into your briefcase or whatever. Like they made a whole game about that, which is pretty cool.
I haven't tried it, but yeah, I've heard good things. But I think one big thing I got to talk about this week, just because I'm probably not going to be here for a few weeks, so, you know, enjoy my voice while you can. It may be a few weeks, but yeah, I'm going on vacation. It'll be the longest spell I've missed Nintendo Main since the inception of this podcast. Not looking forward to it in the sense that I don't like breaking my streak. I think I've missed one episode total the entire podcast. Like I've missed one full episode and then I missed like one interview, but I think I've been there for everything else otherwise. So yeah, I'm gonna be gone, but the reason why is because I'm going on a real life video game which is my partner. I've spoken about it on previous episodes, but my partner's been tricking out a van. She's done all the work. I've helped a little bit, but mostly she's just customized this vehicle into a roadworthy, livable. It's basically, she turned a van into an RV.
It's a drivable apartment, mini apartment, right?
Yeah, she bought a 97 Power Ram. I don't even know exactly, but it's like whatever, like the highest level van you could get in 97 for like hauling stuff and all that. And that's mostly what it was used for before she purchased it. So, you know, before she owned it, it was a dirt bike team that hauled all their dirt bikes in it from place to place. Like motorized dirt bikes, basically motorcycles. So yeah. They had customized the inside of the van to where they could hold four or five motorcycles. And then they would, you know, as a team would travel from place to place and compete. So like, it was already like kind of weirdly gutted when she bought it, and that made it easier for her to customize it. So she's kind of like got really lucky. She bought it right before the pandemic. So it was before
Was it that long ago? Was it like 2019? Yeah. No, I thought it was later, but I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe she bought it later. You know what? I think I'm wrong. She bought it. No,
I
mean, she did.
I was saying I don't know. I'm not saying that I know anything about this because I don't. I just was like, was it that long ago? Yeah,
she's had it for a while. Maybe it hasn't been that long though. I don't know. You know, I might be convoluting some things here and there, but needless to say, she got a good deal on it. Maybe it was during the bubble, before the bubble burst, but she had a really good friend who's a mechanic that went with her. You know, he's a professional mechanic that he fixes cars for a living. He went with her on a test drive of the van before she bought it, and then was part of the process of talking down the price based on what repairs would be needed. Like, I don't know how many people have mechanics as friends, but do that. If you go test driving a car, they will help you talk down a price. And yeah, I don't know. She's so smart.
It's gold.
I just love her. But she has this van, and it's all set up for us to, yeah, it's a mobile apartment. So as of the time this is released, I'll already be on the road, but this Friday we'll be gone for 18 days and we're going to live out of the van the whole time. We're going to travel all the way out west. We're going to go to as far west as Sedona, Arizona, and then we're going to go north, and then we're going to like head back through Colorado. We're going to go back to Denver. We've been to Denver before, but we're going to go back to Denver, see a few friends that live there. And yeah, that's the goal for the next few weeks. So that's a lot of what I've been doing this week. Part of the survival preparing thing is that, yeah, I've been making a lot of food. I've been cooking, and I've got this whole plan. I'm hoping it works out, but I've been cooking all these meals, and then I've been freezing them and making them, like dividing them up into individual like meals for us. So it'd be like two servings, and then I freeze it. And then it's like, I'm going to layer the cooler based on when we're going to eat the meals. So it's this whole thing that I've got this whole system in my head, but it feels like a video game in so many ways. Cause I've literally been like freezing my stuff, cause I have a deep freezer in my garage. I've been freezing stuff in these bags in such a way that it stacks properly in the cooler. And we're not wasting space. And then we're going to go from the bottom of the cooler, where it's the coldest, is where the stuff we're going to eat the latest goes. And then, yeah. So it's a whole thing. I don't know how well it's going to work, but it's been a lot of fun to plan it out. I've made a lot of food the past like week. I've made a lot of food.
So you don't have a freezer in the van, is what you're saying, right? You're just trying.
We don't have any sort of like cooler other than the actual. Well, we don't have any sort of fridge, but we have the cooler, and it's a really nice cooler. She bought it.
But it's not
this
like
past year. It's not a super duper expensive nice cooler.
But it's not like electric or anything, right?
It's not electric. You have to basically
yeah, try to keep it. But you're gonna have. I mean, you'll have places, right, where you can.
Yeah, we will.
Like
we
you're
will.
Gonna have to find somewhere to take showers or something, right? Like
the longest stretch. Well, not necessarily. The longest stretch we're gonna have is 4 days, where we're gonna be basically out away from everything. We're going to be in BLM lands, which are like the like federally owned lands out west that you can just basically live in for free. You just have to like move your vehicle every X amount of days. You can't actually like build a house to live in or something, but you can, You can live there for free. Essentially, you just have to keep moving. You have to be like nomadic.
Kind of, kind of like parking, sort of. Like where you.
Something like that. These BLM lands are mostly desert. They're just like wide swaths of land that are federally owned, and anybody's allowed to crash on them if they want to. But yeah, it's not necessarily no man's land. Like, it's not like, you know, think about like X amount of miles away from the shore of a certain island, or country, then you're in like international waters. Like, I don't think it's quite like that, but it's still like there's no cops patrolling these areas. Like, there's no towns for them to be based out of. So it's like, it could be a little iffy out there, but we're going to have a good time. That's what I'm saying. It's like survival. We're going to have food, where you have water. You know, we've got clothes. We've got some sort of weaponry, some makeshift stuff that I've sort of coughed together. Nothing major, but in case we need it. And then, of course, we're going to like be building fires, cooking food, like fresh. I just have a lot of food set up for like survival, because I'm approaching this like I'm prepping up for a survival session, and maybe I'm over preparing, but I'm having a good time with it.
It's better to be over prepared than under prepared.
Exactly. And I got a bunch of chicken on sale at the store. Like, it was on clearance, because like sometimes you'll go in and get meat and it's about to expire, so they like knock the price down. So I got like 10 pounds of chicken breasts for really cheap, and so I had to make a bunch of food out of it.
Oh, but you cooked them all and then froze them, right? So they'd keep later.
Well, I made a bunch of dishes out of them, so we've got
yeah,
like 6 or 7 different dishes, but they're all chicken based. So, you know, it's different stuff, but you know, we're mostly eating chicken on this trip, or vegetarian. There's not going to be much else in between.
Will you be able to charge your Switch? I mean, you'll be able to charge stuff off of the thing, right?
So I will have my Switch. We have a really nice battery, which is another thing that my partner purchased a year or two ago. That's a really nice, like, it probably weighs about 40 pounds. It's just this huge battery that you can plug a bunch of devices into, and you know, it's not even one of those like multi-use thing. It's like, it's not like a Bluetooth speaker or something. It's just like a big ass battery, and I guess it does have a flashlight on it, but.
And that's like your power.
That's the only, like, that's our power, but we can, it has a USB, or not USB. See, I'm thinking too modern here. It's got a cigarette lighter adapter on it. So while we're driving the van, the battery can charge. Then we're parked, we have this huge power bank.
Yeah, I was going to say.
On top
that,
of that,
yeah,
I'll have
that
all
would,
my.
That would make sense.
On top of that, I have several power banks of my own that I've tested with different devices that holds multiple charges for multiple devices. So I think we're going to be in good shape, but it's still just like the excitement of going out there and like feeling like I'm, you know, managing my loadout before I like go on a raid or something. That's kind of how it feels. It's like a real life video game. I'm excited. Obviously things are going to happen that are outside of the wheelhouse of preparation. I mean, that's how anything like this is, but I haven't been on like a real road trip in probably multiple decades at this point in my life. So that's what I've been prepping for this week. So like I said, in those little moments I've had to play video games, I've played a little bit of Resident Evil 4, but I did want to mention one thing, which was part of preparing for my trip and also part of what I said earlier, but I was due for an upgrade on my phone.
Oh, you got the new one, whatever I don't know what that is. That the 15 or is that
it's the iPhone 15s. Whatever, it's the top. It's the current top of the line iPhone you can get.
Oh, okay, so you can get Resident Evil 4 on there or something.
And I have put it on there because
I know Village
did a trial to Apple Arcade. Yeah, they're both on my phone, and I played some of RE4 remake on it, and it looked great. One thing I also figured out, and I'm sure this is nothing new to people who have iPhones, but maybe the 12 couldn't do this, but I could just send it straight to my TV, and all of a sudden, like, the game I'm playing on my phone is on the TV.
Oh.
It's just casting it.
I haven't tried. I mean,
don't know if you...
Yeah, I mean, I can mirror my phone on my TV, but I've never tried playing anything on there because I don't play anything on
the... Well, the delay is horrible, but...
oh, sure, yeah.
the main reason I did it was because I wanted to be like, okay, this is a console-quality game. I'm just going to, like, mainly for the show, I'm going to do a little bit of... Because I've been playing on the PS5, you know, it's basically the top of the line console currently, but I wanted to see, like, I'm playing it on the iPhone and I'm casting it, you know, via Bluetooth or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's probably TV. Gonna add extra.
There's gonna be a delay, yeah. But I just wanted to see how it looked compared to the PS5, and I was like kind of switching back and forth to look, and there was hardly any difference. Obviously there's a delay in controls, but the only time you really noticed that the graphics were kind of compromised was when there'd be like a close-up of a character, and you could see like maybe the texture on what they were wearing would like be a little like jumbly. And it's like the kind of thing they probably just don't expect you to see on a phone screen, so they don't worry as much about it. Or that's where they could, you think about like in a game where you're like, it happens on a lot of Switch games where you see something off in the distance, but as you get closer, you know, it's like it's rendering it new,
yeah,
to where it's like more detailed. I think that's kind of what's happening here. I'm just seeing it in real time on, you know, giant TV. You're not supposed to see it on the big TV. You're just supposed to see it on the phone screen. So otherwise, it works perfectly. I hooked up my 8-bit Do to the iPhone. It works great. So
you got to get one of those clip things so you can like play it.
Well, I used to have one. I think I'm going to get a Backbone eventually, not right away. I finally have the phone that justifies a Backbone because the screen's actually big enough. Like the biggest difference with this phone is just having the big old screen, because I got so used to that.
Oh, you had a smaller one, right? And mine's kind of. Right. Mine's kind of small too, but I like the size of it. Actually, it's actually smaller than the other one. But when mine is the 14, and when I upgraded to the 14, I went and got the Backbone because I wanted to, you know, I just wanted to be able to play. It was pretty much so I could play Yakuza Zero, portable, because Jess was working from home, and you know, that was before they had a separate office and all that when we were in the other apartment, and I could only play in the living room, and I didn't want to play in the living room. While Jess was working and all that. So I was like, well, if I get the Backbone, then I can play it on my phone. And then I realized later that I could play it on the road too, you know, and that sort of thing. But I fully recommend the Backbone. It's pretty rad. I mean, it's like $100. It's $100 though. So it's like, you know, get it if you're going to use it a lot, you know, that sort of thing.
I have no reason to buy it now. And that's why, like, I wanted to be clear. Like, I downloaded those games just to try it out and be like, hey, I got ray tracing in my pocket, you know. It's hilarious, but it's true. It has ray tracing in it. But,
yeah, I thought you were going to say you got a Steam Deck or something, but you can't put that in your pocket. It's too big. so it wouldn't even fit.
But I don't care about the games. I'm probably going to delete them because I just want to maximize. The main reason I got it is because my last phone's battery power was kind of shitty. I've had it for like 4 years. And it also the battery life was shitty. The ports were kind of wonky. It wouldn't always charge.
Oh yeah, my other phone was charging. My other phone was really bad like that too. I remember when I called both of you drunk from MGC, and I was like, I don't know if my phone will charge again, because it was really weird. You had to I basically plugged it in and held it and fell asleep holding it.
Yeah,
and then it ended up charging. But I've actually had that with multiple iPhones in the past. But yeah, that was the main reason that I got a different one for mine.
So.
And plus I was, you know, I was on a, you know, on a job that was pretty good paying. So I was like, hey, I got extra cash. Let's go get a different phone, whatever.
But yeah, I wanted something that was good for, you know, that was going to have basically I got a brand new phone. So I've got like a really big ass battery. And one of the main things that people like review this phone well on is the battery life. And I've ran it through spaces, and I, you know, went to work early in the morning, was playing music on it all day on Bluetooth. And like when I took my break, I was like watching videos on it. And then I went home, and then I loaded up Resident Evil 4, and I was playing it, casting it to the TV. And I listened to some podcasts and was just doing stuff with it all day. And then I went to bed at night. I still had like 44% battery life or something like that. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's pretty good.
This is going to be good. I mean, that's not going to last over time, but it's good to have it for this trip.
Sure.
I just know I've got a good battery life on my phone, and for the reasons we need it, it'll be good. Plus, the speakers are really good on it. The camera is amazing. It's got a telephoto lens built into it, which is the first time on a phone, I think, or at least on an Apple. There might be one in some other brand by now, but using some sort of prism technology, it has like a zoom I can do that's optical and not digital.
Mine works pretty good for zooming, but This is really dumb. I can't take pictures of anything close up, but I could with my other previous iPhones before this.
Macro?
And I looked it up, and apparently, yeah, the 14 sucks for that, even though everyone before that took really good close-up pictures, but this one doesn't, because Apple's stupid. They don't include things on some versions of things. Like, you could have an iPhone 1, and it would take a better close-up than a 14, but, you know, it's dumb.
So I would say if I was going to just outwardly, like, make a judgment based on what I've seen so far with the performance of this as a game console and not a phone, it's something like a PS4. I don't think it's current gen, but it's still pretty incredible that it can run that kind of stuff and also be like efficient with the battery life. Like, it never got hot while I was doing any of that. And I mean, I've got it in a case and stuff, so you think that would increase the temperature. But oh yeah, the other big thing, and I don't think you have this, USB-C charging.
Oh yeah, the new ones.
So now it charges with the same plug that everything else I use charges, and that's really cool. Now I just use one plug.
I was gonna say you might not be able to get the backbone then, because the backbone uses the old iPhone.
No, I looked it up already.
Are there new ones?
USB-C version. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because the one that I have uses the old one, and it even though it does have, I think it has a USB-C charger, but you have to, or no. No, it just has an extra. It'll basically let you have headphones and whatever. But no, I am envious of the ones that have the USB-C, because everything should be USB-C, because now it's the same as the Switch and the controllers.
Well, now, you know, me and Sean use the same charge. We can use the same charger. And, yeah.
And it's you can get rid of those shitty Apple ones.
The only reason I need it anymore is for my iPad.
Yeah. You can get rid of that. Get rid of that, iPad, too, and use your...
I'm not getting rid of my iPad.
I mean, don't you have like three pads? Don't you have like a Kindle and a Fire and an iPad? Don't you have like a million different mini screens or something?
Well, I have a Kindle Fire, I have an iPad, and then I have the reading ones. I got one of those.
Those are Kindles.
Which is just black and white.
The Kindles are the black and white ones.
The ones that you just read on.
Yeah, they're called Kindles.
I got one of those, and then yeah, I've got a Kindle Fire.
I think you have the Amazon Fire, like the tablet, right? Because I think we have the same one.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever. Yeah, the same thing. Same company owns them.
Yeah. But the Kindle specifically is the black and white thing.
The Kindle or the Amazon Fire, I have the screens really badly cracked on it. So kind of sucks, but I still think I'll probably use it for while we're on the road. I think that'll probably be what we use to watch shows, because you can download shows on it and stuff.
Well, you can download stuff on your iPad and your phone too.
I don't want to bring my iPad because I like it too much.
You think
I
might get
cracked? I don't want to lose it
on the road. My Amazon.
My iPad's a collector's item at this point because it's so old.
Yeah, I mean, I have the iPad 1 still. I don't.
It's
use
probably
it,
worth but... more than you paid for it.
I doubt it. it's maybe worth 40 bucks if I'm lucky.
I don't know. Look into it. It might actually be worth more than you think. Yeah. People collect that old stuff.
Yeah, but my Amazon Fire, I use that shit all the time. It's awesome. Well, I just read comic books on it, but I read it a lot because I have a lot of jobs where I have to sit in one place for 4+ hours, so it'll help me keep sane. Just reading old Marvel comics on there. I just wanted to mention, because at the very beginning of the show, I mentioned the Nintendo vouchers. I bought 2 Nintendo vouchers for myself. I'm still on the fence as to whether...
Princess Peach and...
Well, I'm on the fence for Princess Peach. It's basically like, I bought 2 because Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is 100%. And
you have to buy 2, right?
Yeah, you have to buy 2. But I bought 2 because of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. That's the one that I want more than anything else, because my disc that I have is scratched. I haven't been able to play it. The new version looks great. There's a cardboard little stage that you can make if you live in England, which I think would entice me to get a physical copy of it, because I think it looks really fucking cool. But yeah, I'm getting that one. But I have yet to see. I mean, the Japanese website or the Japanese magazine that does all the reviews. There's that one, but there's been no other reviews of Princess Peach yet. So I don't know. I really wasn't that impressed with the demo. But I might. I'm waiting for somebody to be like, I don't know, if Switch Up gives it like a really high score or something like that, then maybe I'll get into it. But I'm surprised. I'd be surprised if they did. But I mean, I don't know. I'm still kind of curious. But yeah, I bought the Nintendo vouchers just because I wanted to have them for the Thousand Year Door. it's basically either going to be like Thousand Year Door and Luigi's Mansion 2, or Thousand Year Door and Princess Peach is kind of what I'm going for here. I mean, of course, eventually I'll get Luigi's Mansion 2 because I love those games. But I was like, well, maybe if I do like Princess Peach and Mario, then maybe I can get another one and then finally get the Trace Memory game or whatever, even though I'm still not even really sure if I want that one or not. So it's kind of like, you know, that's how it is. But Princess Peach Showtime is coming out this Friday, and I may have to get it just for content on the show. Who knows? But I'm really curious to see what people say about it. That's all I'm saying about my Nintendo vouchers. But I have two of them. I got them whenever, because I got paid for like 3 weeks of work, like last week, which I had been waiting for a long time. And I was like, ooh, here, let's get some shit. So that's why I bought the TV and the vouchers and all that.
Well, the only game I've played other than the Resident Evil games on the iPhone is What the Car, which I think you've talked about.
Oh, yeah, you played. That game's awesome. I love that game.
It's
yeah,
so fun badass. So far. I've only played a little bit of it, but I really like it.
Oh, I forgot about that game. Yeah, that game's wonderful. I had so much fun with
it's
that
so
game.
It's so weird.
I played it with the backbone. But yeah, no, well, I mean, it's, yeah, I loved What the Golf. What the Golf was awesome. And What the Car is equally stupid, too, but I love it. But I, you know, my two big kryptonites or whatever, the two things that always get me are first person shooters and racers. And What the Car is kind of like a weird, I wouldn't even call it a racing game. It's like, let's just be really weird with cars in different ways. And I had so much fun with that game. And you can even, there's even like user created content that you can play as well. Like that's on like every level and all that. You should play more of that. There's a lot of really cool shit in that game.
If I do play any phone games on the road, it'll be that. And then, of course, I did get the official version of Suikoden game on the iPhone, just using the right one when I'm practicing.
I thought about getting that, actually, but because it was like $3, and I was like, well, because I would get it, but I was like, yeah, but I don't want my phone to distract me more. I actually haven't played Suikoden game since we talked last. Well, just because I've just been playing Battlefront 2, but a lot of it is also like, you know when you know. It's like I haven't played Tomb Raider in a while, because I know that if I play Tomb Raider, I'm going to play it for like the next like 15 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've just been kind of like keeping myself away from it, just because I know that it's going to rule my life for however long, and I'll play it for way longer than I ever wanted to play it. So, you know, that's why I haven't gone back to those Tomb Raider remakes, because it'll basically rule my life. Like, even though last time I played it, it was just in the game was just on when I turned on the Switch, and I was like, well, I'll just finish this level. And then I played it for like 4 hours or whatever before I switched to something else. That's like kind of the control that it has over me. So that's why I haven't played it recently, but it's still in my mind. I still think about it. But it's too long. It's too much. There's too much to do on there. But yeah, did you end up like loading up your Switch with anything? You were talking about that before you left.
Yeah. I've loaded up my Switch with games I want to play, which includes Resident Evil 4. But yeah, I'm going to try to play, why am I forgetting the name now? The game that's like Chrono Trigger that I want to play through.
It's not Sea of Stars, because you already beat that one.
Yeah, I played through that one.
Yeah, I forget what it is.
Slight Cross something or something, like...
The other one.
See, I can't remember what it's called now. But I do own it, so I feel terrible for not remembering what it's called. That's on there, yeah, and then, you know, just like Final Fantasy VI, I'm going to play through that. I think I might finish that while I'm on the trip. And of course, we're going to play Suikoden game. And of course, we're going to play, if we have Wi-Fi, we're going to play Jackbox and stuff. And then one of the reasons for Suikoden game, also having it on my phone, is that we can both play it at the same time. Sean can play the Switch, and I can play the...
Chained Echoes.
So yeah. Chained Echoes, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah, Chained Echoes, I definitely want to spend some time with if I have a chance. And, Final Fantasy VI. That's the two big ones. And then I've got Resident Evil 4 on there just because I thought it'd be fun to play a creepy game while I'm like out in the middle of nowhere.
You know,
for ambient.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, you have Dredge also. Speaking of creepy games,
I do have Dredge on there, which so I haven't even
in the middle of
still
nowhere.
Got the digital seal on it.
That would be a great one to play in the middle of nowhere, because, yeah, it's all about the darkness getting to you and all that. And yeah, it's a good game.
So, you know, the Switch is for games, the phone's for phone, and
It's not for calling anybody.
Photography and well, it's for photography and videography and stuff, which we're going to hopefully do a lot of. And it's going to be a good time. One thing I did want to mention, just because, I don't know, this has got to be a gripe that other people have experienced. I did a little research online, but I wanted to add my Google account to my iPhone, it's so weird because everything else transferred, but the Google account, because it's two-factor authentication. So I went to do the two-factor authentication on my phone, a new phone. The other one's wiped. You know, I've transferred over. There's not another iPhone. There's only one iPhone. And it's telling me to, when I try to, set up my Google account, it's like, all right, here's your two-factor authentication. Go to Google Photos and open it and then accept. Well, I go to Google Photos and it makes me log in to Google and then it just starts the whole process over again. So, yeah, I can't, for whatever reason, it won't let me select send a text message or whatever. It says that that's not secure enough. So the two-factor authentication is preventing me from putting my Google account on my new iPhone. And I think I actually have to maybe call and talk to somebody or go through a whole process. And it's not that big of a deal. Honestly, the big reason I'm worried about it is because of my YouTube. I want my YouTube history. I want all that because I like having my YouTube accessible to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is it? Because when you say getting your...
I have other devices that can access my email. I have other devices that haven't locked me out of that stuff.
Oh, you mean yet. So you can't even check your Gmail or anything like that on your phone.
Correct.
Like that sort of thing. Yeah, because I was like, what would I do?
It's really annoying because I was planning on using Google Maps and stuff for traveling and having it all transferred. So I'm trying to work that out. But yeah, in the meantime, it's just got me locked out of Google Docs for the show. It's got me locked out of my Gmail. It's got me locked out of my YouTube account, and it's annoying. So hopefully I fix that in the next week or so. But I didn't expect that to be a problem with getting a new iPhone because everything was everything transferred over, including PayPal and all these other things you would think were more sensitive. But my Google account, no.
Yeah, weird.
I can't log into my YouTube.
Yeah.
So weird. I'm going to try to figure that out, but it's just the big thing just being, it makes no sense to me that it's you can't log into your Google account until you access this other Google account on the same device. It makes no sense. It's stupid. So it's some kind of glitch in their system or they're just idiots. Either way, I'm really annoyed with it. Otherwise, I love my new phone and, awesome. But yeah, that's about it. I got to say about stuff this week.
Sure. Yeah, you got a bunch of stuff. You got a trip ahead of you. And
I got a lot of work to do still to prep for the trip. Tomorrow is going to be all, I got to go to work. And then when I get off work, I'm just going to work until I'm exhausted and I pass out on prepping for the trip. And then we're going to leave 5 or 6 in the morning on Friday.
Yeah, you're probably leaving early, I would think.
Oh, early. We're hoping to leave before the sunrise. We'll see how that goes, but. It's part of the itinerary, which Shauna has a very detailed itinerary. That's the other thing I can't check because she sent it to me through Google Drive.
Oh,
and I can't look at my itinerary on my phone, which pisses me off because that was part of my whole meal planning and stuff. So I have to use other devices to. Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid.
Save it on your notes or something.
Yeah.
So you can look at it. All right. Well, I think that's good for our episode, for episode 414.
I agree.
Are you going to be, you're going to be posting stuff about your trip, on your Twitter, possibly at JMaxStack. You should post something there so I can see it because I would look at it.
Yeah, I'll definitely post some stuff. I don't quite know, I'm not trying to limit myself or anything less about limiting myself. I'm more about not trying to overwork myself because this is a vacation, but it's going to be hard work. Day to day. So I'm not necessarily trying to be a YouTube van lifer, but at the same time, I would like to record some stuff and post some images and some videos and stuff. And, depending on how things go, even if I can't show up on the show for the next few weeks, maybe I'll send a little voice memo to Trey or something and they can splice it in or whatever. I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll see. Maybe this will get more multimedia than usual. This next couple weeks.
I was going to say, you can take a picture of a nice sunset or something like that, or just be yeah. Hey, today we didn't get attacked by anybody. So that's cool.
I mean, I'm still hoping whatever, the canyon is as grand as they say. I haven't seen it since I was 9. I think with erosion, it's bigger now.
Yeah, it was. I remember I remember my mom and I were going to go down into it at some point, but it was too expensive. But no, it's cool. Yeah, it's a cool place to go see. But yeah, find Jeremy's updates at JMaxStack on Twitter, and you can find me at Nintendo_domain at Twitter as well. And we're on Blue Sky, Nintendo Main on Blue Sky. We're on there too. And you can find us on youtube.com/Nintendo Main Podcast also. And if you want to hear, if you miss Jeremy being gone and you're like, man, I wish I could hear more of his voice, why don't you go to patreon.com/Nintendo Main Podcast and give us a dollar and you can hear all these extra episodes with Jeremy's voice on there that you never heard before. And you could go, and there's like, what, almost 60 plus episodes on there with a bunch of other shit. You can find all sorts of extra stuff on patreon.com. So go there and you can hear our expansion pack stuff. Good shit. We talk about tiny characters and tiny games and all that stuff. And WART Radio, there's a new one of those that just came out. You can listen to that too. It was
that's definitely part of our
a lot of fun.
Our playlist on the road trip.
Catching up on all those WART radios. I just put one out a few days ago. So I like that one. It was a good trying to get back on schedule because I was behind on the at the turn of the year or whatever. But yeah, got that up there. Check all that stuff out, and all that. But yeah, we've been your hosts. I'm Trey Johnson.
Jeremy Kowski.
And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Adios.
Adios, muchacho.